nervous about the fact that negotiations have gotten nowhere, and CIA was fairly seriously making noises preparatory to a strike, as I recall. Mm-hmm. Then, actually, the moments in which John Noel and I made a big fuss in the math departments must, I guess, have come at the start of the second semester, where it really seemed that the strike was imminent, and we had a department meeting and got everybody noses to discuss math department response in case of strike.
This was just faculty, obviously.
Yeah. Let's see, what's the exact sequence? Actually, I think our first brush with fame was an earlier department meeting, now that I think about it, which was more or less a regularly scheduled meeting. Let's see, that was indeed negotiations that I forget, it's either broken down or very nearly broken down, and there was great concern over what would, whether the chancellor or the university administration would make significant concessions in the educational planning area to avert a strike. And I may have already said before, the faculty were rather suspicious on that score because of the educational planning clause and the structure agreements.
They hadn't been aware of how it came about.
They hadn't been aware of how it came out. It was clearly a sort of weasel clause, a trickily worded clause, which might mean much or might mean little. Presumably, the people who negotiated it had talked TAA down from something which had a definite meaning to something which was ambiguous and felt, well, obviously, if they were willing to settle for this weak version, they don't really mean it. But to the faculty, they'd gone from the other extreme of thinking that there was no such a thing to suddenly being confronted with this clause. And there was also, it was not entirely clear to all faculty how deeply committed the administration was to the principle of faculty control in these areas. And occasionally, administrators, both in that day and in this, get some bright educational idea and come around and tell people, we've got this great new program, you ought to fall in line and do something about it. To many people, the Institute for Environmental Studies is an instance of this. At that time, there was a potential program to retrain Vietnam veterans. That, you know, was a gleam in somebody's eye. It was going to be the hottest thing since the foundation of the University of Chicago. Well, so it makes faculty nervous. We had this meeting, and Dick Bruck in this department was persuaded not to actually move a stern motion on the floor of the meeting, but instead wrote a letter to the chancellor, got up and said, here is a letter if anybody would like to sign it, so they can see me after the meeting is over.
Dick Bruck?
Bruck, B-R-U-C-K.
Oh. We're still just in the math department.
Right, yeah. Still just in the math department. It was a well-written letter as far as rhetoric goes, and with a zingy close, and I, for one, remember saying, that is too well-written, people are going to remember it, I don't want to sign it. And
Were the faculty agreed on it? Fairly unanimous? Fairly.
No. In fact, I don't believe that more than 20 people signed it. It expressed a sentiment which, in a way, is apple pie and motherhood, namely that control of education should remain in faculty hands. So people were torn between thinking it's apple pie and motherhood and thinking I don't want to get involved.
Yeah.
I was personally feeling I don't want to get involved.
What would be the problem of getting involved?
Well, of course, The immediate problem would be that all your graduate students who are TAs would hear about it and say, so you signed the infamous letter of X date or whatever. You're one of the, you know, Van Vleck 10. Shame on you.
Yeah.
What actually happened was that he sent it to the chancellor with copies to all the deans, and the then dean of the School of Education got most exercised at receiving this letter and called up the reporters and said the math department is wrong, 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 and it is people like them who are making all troubles for the university. And it made quite a splash in the newspapers over one weekend.
Now, this was a letter opposing any inroads on faculty control, I think.
That was
and
the intent.
Somebody in education, School of Education. That's interesting.
The dean of the School of Education.
Yeah.
I believe it was then McCarty. It was, of course, really rather startling behavior for a dean to call a newspaper conference to denounce his colleagues in another department.
I'll have to look that up.
As it turned out, it all came to nothing in the end, but it made us all feel a little put upon at the time, particularly since Ed School is not very deeply into the TA system at all. In fact, the math departments and the School of Education have really a different perspective on education altogether. Because we are in what we consider to be a basic tool subject in the School of Education as a group, and this is only a statistical statement, not true of all the individuals, but as a group, they don't believe there are such things as basic tools.
Mm-hmm.
After that came another meeting, which was an ad hoc meeting on the eve of the strike, where John Noel, then Sherman, and I had talked about what we might do, and of course the strike was going to have a very great impact on our instruction. We had thousands and thousands of students in classes where TAs were heavily, critically involved in the teaching. The class couldn't go in anything like the form in which it had started if the TAs failed to teach. And this is very different from what was typically the case in history, let us say, where there's three lectures a week and then a one-hour session where the students talk about the reading. It's nice that they have the session. If they don't have the session, then they don't get to voice their, these things are little in the nature of full sessions.
You were the most critically affected department in the
language departments.
But they weren't nearly as big.
I think for the, there they had whole blocks of courses that, so far as I know, no faculty member had taught since the mind of man runneth not to the contrary. And we weren't quite that badly off, but in terms of total impacts, perhaps we were. In terms of impact per faculty member, we were better off than language departments. But so we were indeed most concerned. It was certainly some people at that stage had come in and said this strike is all wrong. It is going to interfere with the education of these math students. It's going to be a great setback to them. The interference is going to come for reasons which I think are very bad reasons. As a department, we have a responsibility not to let these students' education get seriously disrupted, particularly for what are bad reasons, namely the sort of student power, et cetera, component of the strike. And so I, whoever this I might be, will do whatever I can to help out with instruction. So there were that group of people. There were, how many? 10 such people, maybe, who actually volunteered this. There were maybe 5 people for whom we thought perhaps would actually go on strike themselves. We didn't know, we didn't want to ask.
Were they tenured faculty?
Yeah. Now, there's no.
That's unusual. I haven't.
Well, there's not any particularly visible split between tenured and non-tenured faculty in the math departments on left-right issues or TAA issues or anything like that.
They were so sympathetic to the strikers that they would go on strike.
Well, as it turned out, there weren't any such, but we thought there might be, you know, or, three or five people. Well, either the strikers or the cause of unionism. After all, one of the essences of the cause of unionism is you don't sit around and saying, I like these strikes and I don't like those strikes. If you're in that, you see a picket line, you don't ask a lot of questions, you walk or you turn around and go away. And
was Mike Bleacher one of these?
He was actually on leave at this time.
And
we might have had some anxieties about him had he been here. As it turned out, when he came back, he took a stance that if you come down to talking about real substantial TAA power or student power, he thought that was a rotten idea. Then in the middle, we had almost all our faculty who still rather hoped that this cup might pass from their lips. So what happened at this meeting was we got up and said we appear to be on the eve of the strike. When the strike comes, you know, people will do things or they won't do things, and the whole world is going to know. As a little test and preparation for that moment, will you please stand up individually as we call your name and say what your attitude, what you currently think your attitude is going to be. This will not be a commitment to how you behave, but just tell us today how you feel, and then we call the roll. In retrospect, this was not a clever thing to have done tactically, because upsets most people very considerably, and it may have, you know, I still think it probably was doing them a service in a way. Gave them a confrontation right there in a closed and locked room, which they were in fact going to have to make in public and for the records very shortly thereafterward, but again, they didn't see it in that fashion at the time.
Did any other departments do anything like that that you're aware of?
Not as I know, not so far as I know. In fact, I think, you know, there is a large school in the university that feels, you know, the major part of managing education is to manage the newspaper view of education or the public image of education, and if you can do that all right, why, what you do inside a university building doesn't matter all that much. And, in fact, this, I would say, is closer to being a statement of, you know, administrative view than any other statement of equal length would be. Let's look after the public relations first, and we can always fix things up inside later on. And that, of course, says don't confront issues. By no means get your faculty upset. We can always muddy the waters and slide through by the the problem will have gone away before people really know the right questions to ask.
Did the TAs hear about this?
I don't know for a fact they did, but
I think they would have made something of it if they had.
Well, they didn't, in fact, make something of it, and I would be amazed to hear that none of them had known about this, because there's almost nothing we do that some TAs don't come to know about. They presumably got out of its message, which wasn't much good to them, just as we on the management side, so to speak, got out of it something that wasn't much good to us, namely that the faculty above all things, didn't want to look at this issue.
So what did they say when they
I said that this was a bad question.
And they wouldn't answer it.
Right, not in the sense of standing up and saying, this is a bad question, I refuse to answer, but in the sense of saying, I don't like this. Let the administration answer some questions, let somebody else answer some questions, go elsewhere with your inquiries, sort of thing. And that was a response heard. Some version of that was heard more often than others, so there certainly were people who said, I think this is a rotten strike, and I will do whatever is necessary and within my powers to continue instruction in the math departments. And perhaps a few people have said explicitly, this is a rotten question, I refuse to answer. These, of course, would have been the two extremes I previously talked about. The strike did indeed come to pass.
Wait a sec. Do you think people in the math department had different views of the strike from what other department people might have had because of the number of math TAs who were active and up in the higher echelons of the TA?
Yes, I think that a careful statistical survey would have revealed significant differences in the views, but I think a naive observer given 1 hour to spend in each of two departments might not have caught this. Because it was a case of having, say, 70 faculty members spread out over a spectrum. I assume that other departments of comparable size, you know, also had people spread out after a spectrum. If you measure the whole thing carefully, you can see that the two curves of, are shifted one with respect to the other, but you can't find that out just by talking to five people from each department. And, of course, it is by no means true that every member of the faculty department, of the math department, rather, is acutely conscious of all these students in pre-calculus courses being taught by TAs. Even to this day, when we have more such students than we had back in 68 and back in 69-70, there are still people who only have a dim notion that there are a bunch of pre-calculus students, and he doesn't know how they get taught, nor yet, you know, specifically what courses they take. These are people that don't really want to know. We nag at them about once a year, and excuse me. Yes, I think people took it more seriously and had to, on the average, and had to think more about TAs as TAs and less about TAs as graduate students than was the case in most other departments. But it would not be a striking qualitative difference, I don't think. We were not really in terribly close touch with other departments.
I wondered about that.
Occasionally, people would talk in this Council of Ten, the various department chairmen would talk about their perceptions of things. That was, you know, just a rather small sampling of departments. And, none of the chairmen really wanted to spend a whole solid week grappling with his own faculty about where they stood, partly because it was, for most of the periods, would have been a big investment of time, which everybody hoped would be unnecessary. And also because it was a very difficult question, and all this grappling would upset people. And as I say, a lot of people were hoping to slide around, obscure the issues, muddy the waters, and not spend a lot of time getting things really straight.
Was this meeting just just before the strike? I mean, with the week before?
It must have been about a week or 10 days before. Mm-hmm. Certainly within 2 weeks of the strike. Then after the meeting, after that shock, a number of people went home and did more or less define their positions in their own heads. And let's see, certainly we wound up with perhaps 10 people who were willing to do extra teaching anywhere, anyhow, wherever the need was, and indeed would volunteer to do so. And then perhaps there are another 10 who would be willing to do so if their arm was really twisted, if they were told by somebody this was what the university or the department needed of them.
Now, what kind of people were these who were willing to teach, volunteer to teach?
Well, obviously not committed unionists. And
I guess what I'm trying to say, are they the people who are, to whom the institution is the most important thing, or is it a question of age?
Yes,
or?
They certainly would have contained very institutionally minded people, and people who, well, perhaps that is just about the right way of looking at it. Of all the people in the math departments, a lot of people in the math department are real Robinson Crusoes. And they think of themselves alone on a desert island wrestling with mathematics. And then there are other people who see mathematics as being a part of social contexts. And those would actually include some of the people who are, they would include all the people who are very keen on unions, who certainly believe that social contexts are important. And I guess once you take out the essentially the union style people from the people who think social contexts are important, the remainder would be the group who would have been willing to do a good deal in a TA strike.
Now the Robinson Crusoes would not be institutionally minded, I think.
Right.
Are they the better mathematicians?
We had our desert island people. Are they the better mathematicians?
Well, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Curiosity.
It's actually the people whose names will be best remembered in the year 2000. This is going to be a very tiny fraction of all the people who are now here. It's a big operation. They will be mostly desert island types. If you're really going to be number one in mathematics, you can't think about anything else whatsoever. It means, you know, that you're not a terribly complete human being. And this, I think, is true of being really number one in any fields these days. Everything is terribly competitive. The guy who is number one in any particular thing puts everything he's got into that particular thing. There are some very good mathematicians who are socially minded.
Yeah. This is a commentary on the TAs, isn't it? The ones who were spending so much time on the strike couldn't have been spending much time on math.
Yeah, and I think you would see the... they would look very much like the mathematicians. Ones who are real number one mathematically aren't going to be found in TAA, but there have been people who've been TAs who've been moderately involved with TAA and moderately sympathetic to us who are very good. Of course, also, you know, I think it's exactly like the university. The runs who really move and shake in TAA aren't even that good in their discipline. Just as the administrative cadre in the university, you know, despite all our mythology, is not really taken out of the top 20% scholars.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know, I feel I can say that because I'm one of that administrative cadre.
Well, proceed then.
Let's see. The bulk of people who, faculty members who were jointly involved with TAs in running courses, were willing to do something extra in their courses to take account of the fact that they were going to be withdrawing TA services. And I drew the line in that way. If they were involved with a particular course, they would make an extra effort in that course, but not in any other course. I think that, in fact, turned out to be true of all the people who were involved in joint efforts with TAs. There probably were a few people who would not have gone that far, and who, had they, say, been giving two lectures a week to a lecture full of 200 students who were also meeting TAs three times a week, would have said, well, I will continue to give my two lectures a week, and heavens knows what's going to happen for the rest of the time, but I certainly want nothing to do with it, because to do anything with it would be strike-breaking and scabbing. I think there were such people, but as things fell out, they weren't involved in courses where it made a difference. So then we had the strike. No departmentally, no information about what individual TAs were going to do. We had encouraged faculty members to do what they could to find out what the TAs they were individually involved with were going to do, and had been careful to say we didn't want them to find that out for the purpose of running in and telling the department chairman what individual TAs were going to do, but rather for the purpose of being able to hold an intelligent discussion with the department chairman as to how their course as a whole was going to run. And they had done this with more or less success, depending on the guy and his relation, and his TAs, and his relation to his TAs. Really, when the first date of the strike, we hadn't any notion what sections would be meeting and what sections would not. We then took a tack which, again, was not terribly popular with the faculty as a whole, which was of finding out for ourselves. In fact, we had a group of faculty went around and checked all classrooms in Van Black every hour. Found out what classes were meeting and what classes weren't meeting. And actually, it wasn't just Van Black either. It was every place a math course was meeting, which, I was very active in organizing this, and went to rooms I'd never believed would have existed. Preschools almost in Bascom Hall, where there were math courses meeting, trying to find out whether the class was meeting, if it wasn't meeting, telling the students that as a department we would do what we could to continue the instruction. They shouldn't just go home and assume that there was a hiatus in their instruction.
Were the students, what percentage of the students were there? Just generally.
You found
students wherever you went, evidently.
Yeah, right. And I haven't any notion what percentage of students were present before there was a TA presence. Because those rooms I didn't spend any time with at all, just to look in and see that somebody was apparently running a class there. And where the TAs weren't present, I don't suppose there were ever more than half the students there, and occasionally no more than two or three students. And this was one of the things that we really hadn't figured out in advance at all, the extent to which TAs would tell our students not to come to classes, and the extent to which they would tell the students that they shouldn't come to class, they would be better off not coming to class than coming to class, because the TA would fix things up after the strike was over. And I think basically the understanding must have been that the ETA would see that the students weren't tested on all material which would have been listed in the syllabus issued on the first day of the course.
It wasn't that they were going to make up what they'd lost, but that they
were. Well, there certainly, you know, the story would have varied from TA to TA, mm-hmm. and I think they all must have spoken of something in terms of makeup sessions. I think they must also have explained to the students, don't spend your time worrying about how many makeup sessions there will be, and can you attend all these makeup sessions, and really learn the material. Because the response of students was so much different than what it would be if we were to go out, if I were to go into a classroom next October and say, I'm sorry to tell you, that your instructor is in hospital for 2 weeks, and I want you not to come to this class for 2 weeks, but, and by the way, you will be held responsible for the whole semester's worth of material. We will simply have to work out makeup sessions when the instructor gets back. Why, the students would immediately set up a big screen and say, but, you know, I'm taking 18 credits and working, I have no time for makeup sessions, I need this material right now, I'm a slow studier, et cetera, et cetera. There would have been all kinds of student complaints. This wasn't what they paid their nickel for.
That's what's done, is it?
No.
Usually? I mean, if somebody has to be away?
If somebody has to be away, we get someone else to take over the course just as fast as we possibly can. Very occasionally, a guy will schedule an absence of that order of magnitude in advance and talk it through with the students at the start of the semester and work with them until they can find a satisfactory way of doing it. We don't at all like this sort of thing, but
it's much rather more crucial in math, isn't it, than in many subjects. I mean, you would miss an important
The class hours are pretty well filled, and most of these math courses are being taken as preparation for something else, and that everybody believes that it really makes a difference whether you cover sections 4 and 5 of chapter 1, and that is that that student is going to take another course where sections 4 and 5 of chapter 1 will be called on. Right, the idea of just changing the exam around is not a good way of dealing with a math course. At any rate, the TAs had, those who did go on strike had evidently, by and large, told their students not to come to class, and that's, as I say, they would really be better off for not coming to class during the strike than they would be for coming to class during the strike. And some students bought it and some didn't. And it depended a great deal on just which sort of course was involved. For instance, we have a course for elementary school teachers, pre-service training of elementary teachers. The students tend to indulge in the cult of personality in that course to an unusual extent for math students at all times. They tend to become very highly dependent on their instructor, probably for the same reasons that Patty Hearst was supposed to become dependent on her kidnappers. It's the students see it as about the same situation. Indeed, you in those classes, you might see just a single student showing up in the regular schedule class. And indeed, in a couple of cases, the TAs simply picked the class up and moved it to the basement of Congo Church or some such a place. And we didn't know what the dickens had become of that class until 2 weeks down the road. We were initially trying to find out what classes were meeting and what weren't meeting and assure the students that something was going to be done, though we weren't quite sure what in any particular case. it wasn't until the latter part of the first week of the strike that we really were able to start, I had a clear picture of the dimensions of the problem. It was somewhere in a general neighborhood of 50% of TAs who were on strike, and I don't remember at the moment. It couldn't have been as low as 40% and perhaps as high as 60%, but somewhere in that. This is math department TAs.
So 50% of the math department TAs were teaching?
Something like that, yeah. Hmm. Again, somewhere between 40 and 60, and I don't really remember. And I don't know how they felt, but some of them, of course, thought the whole idea of TAA was a wretched idea. These would be very few. Mm-hmm. But, some of them probably felt extremely bad about it, but just felt they had to have the dough.
Did you meet with the striking about the strike TAs before the strike or at the beginning of it? Was there any kind of
no.
general faculty TA discussion?
There had been a couple of sort of meetings or bull sessions of various sorts attended by faculty who cared to attend and TAs who cared to attend prior to the strike. Some called by the departments, a couple called by TAA. The departmental administration had always tried to avoid putting TAs on the spot. Are you an intending striker or are you not an intending striker? Mm-hmm. Feeling that we couldn't ask that question in a non-threatening way. If we asked it, it would be threatening, and it would be against our own interests in the matter to ask such a question. We'd probably crowd more people into striking. Whether that was right or not, I don't know. But
At such a meeting, would there have been any discussion of what was going to happen to the students? Would it have been an emotional? Did you go to any of these meetings?
As I recall, these meetings mostly were, well, these meetings, as near as I can recall, were all held early in the semester.
Oh, I see.
I don't think there was any strike time. No, not at the strike time. Not after it was absolutely clear there would be a strike.
Was this because the lines were too sharply drawn, or because nobody thought of it, or?
I guess we didn't see that. I think it would be more in the nature of lines being too sharply drawn. Thought that such a meeting would more likely turn into a shouting match and represent a polarizing factor rather than a way of finding some kind of common ground that we could agree on, even though we were going to be indulging in a mock war the next day.
This attitude that the math TAs really were happy in their in the math department, and it was for other departments that they were striking, had no longer applied.
Well, yeah, by the time we were within 2 weeks of a strike, all the people who were involved with TAs must have realized that some of their TAs at least were going to go on strike, and that therefore they couldn't be all that happy with the math department. They couldn't be so happy they'd be willing to stay off a strike. It's that idea just kind of slowly melted away in the sun. And I can't at the moment recall any milestones or dramatic moments in the erosion of that idea.
It occurs to me that it might have made a difference that you probably had very few or no women TAs and very few women on the faculty, and that there's an element of perhaps emotion that I've had a description of the German department's meeting. I don't know whether you were aware of it, but it's totally different. I mean, they met at a faculty member's home, and it was quite a tearful session, I gather.
I see.
This was told to me by
like
a girl. And
a real sort of family meeting.
How could you do this to
right.
us? Nothing like this in the math department.
No. Of course, you know, it's much harder. You know, there was a time when the math department might have, or some people in the math department might have conceived of it as a family, perhaps as recently as 1960, but by the end of the 60s, with 70 faculty and 150 TAs, not even the most optimistic person could think of it as a family. Mm-hmm. For other reasons, the math department has not had, certainly during the decade of the 60s, and I think for all kinds of social reasons, didn't have that sort of family structure. In part, you know, we talked previously about how the chairmanship had gone, and the view of that had changed in the early 60s, and that, you know, marked a change from an era when one might think of things more as a family to an era in which it looks more like a business, or,
yeah.
More of an arm's length operation.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've never had a chairman like Ian Loram who, you just go and ask him what the authoritative word is, and he tells you. Math department chairman just don't behave in that way. Well, you know, no strong father figure. No, nothing like that. It certainly is true that we have our head at that time, just one woman faculty member, Mary Ellen Rudin, who at that time was a rather tenuous faculty member. Certainly a very small minority of women as TAs. I have no reason to think that that would have made much of a difference. I think I can avoid taking a position on whether women are, on the average, more emotional than men, because women who go into mathematics, even in 1976, are a very non-representative sample of all women. I think it is more clearly embedded in our culture that women don't become mathematicians in 1976 than it is that they don't become steel workers. People at least think it's fun to challenge the, some people at least think it's fun to challenge the steel worker business, but it hasn't occurred to anybody to try challenging the math business.
I'm going to ask you later on if you have anything to add to that particular.
Well, right.
Anyway, you're collecting the data on the
right, trying to find out how our classes are.
Did you report this to the dean's office?
No. That is not directly. There were, of course, we necessarily reported it via the payrolls. I forget just how the payrolls happened to fall during a period of the strike, but we did indeed take off the payroll those people who weren't in their classrooms, and did that on our own hook. We did do our payrolls off our own observation rather than waiting for any messages from on high. And during that period, there were any number of people checking classes. The math department was checking classes for its own benefits. There were people from the chancellor's office checking classes with reasonable regularity. And of course, TAA was checking classes. We would all pass one another in the halls and sort of all look off in some corner as we did so. You know, by the end of that week, we must have made some kind of report about X percent of our classes are being impacted by the strike, and here's what we plan to do about it. We didn't try to get into detail in any such thing. We certainly weren't getting any instructions from on high as to what was expected of us or how we were to proceed, and at that time, I think the people, the math department administrators, felt that was just fine. we were trying to do things in our own way, and such instructions as we got from on high probably wouldn't mesh, if we were to get them, wouldn't mesh with what we were trying to do, and they would just be a nuisance rather than a help. That is quite different from the attitudes that we were taking just this spring, when we were much more disposed to wait and see what the people on high were going to tell us to do, and do that and not something else.
Why?
Why? Partly a difference in temperament of the chairman at the time, and perhaps partly a feeling that this rather vigorous course we had pursued so long ago now had upset various people and hadn't done anybody good except possibly students, and that wasn't a good enough reason.
So this was a reflection of, or showed some solidarity with the TAs in this year, would you say?
Objectively, as we good Marxists say, have shown some solidarity with TAs, but that was not the emotional origin of it. Yeah. I think the department as a whole was less disposed to be sympathetic to TAs this last spring than it was in spring of 70. Primarily, I think, simply as a result of having gone through the whole thing once and said, well, what does it really mean to me? This time people could look up the answers in their diary, and in 70 they were having to work them out and wanting to be as well disposed toward TAs as they possibly could. So until they added it all up and said, but I can only be this friendly, they would try to be a bit more friendly. About the end of the first week, we did get some various alternatives for instruction geared up, pretty unsatisfactory from any student's point of view. Clearly embedded in our culture that women don't become mathematicians in 1976 than it is that they don't become steel workers. People at least think it's fun to challenge some people at least think it's fun to challenge the steel worker business, but it hasn't occurred to anybody to try challenging the math business.
I'm going to ask you later on if you have anything to add to that particular
thing. Well, right.
Anyway, you're collecting the data on the
right, trying to find out how our classes are.
Did you report this to the dean's office?
No. That is not directly. There were, of course, we necessarily reported it via the payrolls. I forget just how the payrolls happened to fall during the period of the strike, but we did indeed take off the payroll those people who weren't in their classrooms, and did that on our own hook. We did do our payrolls off our own observation rather than waiting for any messages from on high. And during that period, there were any number of people checking classes. The math department was checking classes for its own benefits. There were people from the chancellor's office checking classes with reasonable regularity, and of course TAA was checking classes, so we would all pass one another in the halls and sort of all look off in some corner as we did so. By the end of that week we must have made some kind of report about X percent of our classes are being impacted by the strike, and here's what we plan to do about it. We didn't try to get into detail in any such thing. We certainly weren't getting any instructions from on high as to what was expected of us or how we were to proceed. And at that time, I think the people, math department administrators, felt that was just fine. We were trying to do things in our own way, and such instructions as we got from on high probably wouldn't mesh, if we were to get them, wouldn't mesh with what we were trying to do, and they would just be a nuisance rather than a help. That is quite different from the attitudes that we were taking just this spring, when we were much more disposed to wait and see what the people on high were going to tell us to do, and do that and not something else.
Why?
Partly a difference in temperament of the chairman at the time, and perhaps partly a feeling that this rather vigorous course we had pursued so long ago now had upset various people and hadn't done anybody good except possibly students, and that wasn't a good enough reason.
So this was a reflection of, or showed some solidarity with the TAs in this year, would you say?
Have shown some solidarity with TAs, but that was not the emotional origin of it. Mm. I think the department as a whole was less disposed to be sympathetic to TAs this last spring than it was in spring of 70. Primarily, I think, simply as a result of having gone through the whole thing once and said, well, what does it really mean to me? This time people could look up the answers in their diary, and in 70 they were having to work them out and wanting to be as well disposed toward TAs as they possibly could. So until they added it all up and said, but I can only be this friendly, they would try to be a bit more friendly. About the end of the first week, we did get some various alternatives for instruction geared up, pretty unsatisfactory from any student's point of view, and indeed they were really designed to work for a week or so, mostly extra sessions in the evening, which does make sense for a short period, but wouldn't be any way to finish out the semester. Comparing the time, comparing the two strike situations, this time some people, when we were talking about a possible strike this last spring, came in and said, yes, I will do some more if we have a strike, but it's got to be understood, if I take over some additional students, those remain my students till the very end of the semester. This business of taking them for a short period and dropping them again doesn't make any sense. Of course, partly that grew out of what I was saying, this discovery of the private transactions that TAs were trying to make with their students. And this, we didn't really grasp the impact of this back in 69-70 until the strike was over. It was a long time falling out, and then people realized that, as a matter of fact, they were trying to teach to a group of students that weren't really clear whether they should be receiving instruction from this strike-breaking teacher. And that, you know, it's hard enough to teach under the best of circumstances. That's one of the reasons things looked differently was this time than last time. Because I think people were a bit upset at this discovery that TAs were willing to give the syllabus away in order to run their strike. We had some interim arrangements made. Of course, there were picket lines. we got shouted at as you entered the building.
But not necessarily math TAs, were they? Because I gather
no,
there was a,
they
just
were,
a general shuffling of...
I think that was my impression. That's we certainly would see math TAs in the picket lines, but they weren't all math TAs, and that's probably what we saw was a random selection of TAs in our own picket lines.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we noticed the math TAs
yeah.
Much more than the others. There was one period somewhere in there where somebody, I suppose the TA, was locking all the doors to the building most every change of class hour. And I was running around trying to unlock the doors to the building. And one of our TAs, when he'd see me coming, would yell, "Here comes the jailer to lock up the jail," which since I was coming to unlock the doors, I could never understand. But
did you get singled out for heckling?
I didn't have a feeling that I was being extraordinarily singled out. Probably I was getting a bit more than other people because I was a good deal more in evidence and doing things which I would say were designed to continue the instruction during this period, which somebody on strike would say were designed to break the strike.
Was it painful for you being heckled?
Yeah, sure. Nobody likes being heckled, particularly by students in your own department. But after the address I had heard from Bob Muhlenkamp somewhat earlier, by being really heckled was a great relief. He gave a speech to United Faculty, which strongly suggested that people might be physically assaulted. And, you know, something to the effect, you know, it would be much better for everybody's health to respect picket lines. And it was a Shrekley-type speech, and so designed. Interestingly enough, I didn't hear any such speech addressed by TAA types to any organization other than United Faculty.
What was your impression of him? That the TAs I talked to revered him.
He was a fairly charismatic figure. Obviously believed in TAA and a strike very intensely. And, that is about all my impression. I never saw Bob Muhlenkamp as an organizer, a negotiator, anything like that. Only as a stump speaker. They used to have their strike rallies right here underneath this building and use a little bridge by which you can get access from Bascom as a sort of podium.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, all math department people, at least, have been interested in the degree to which university architecture, since that moment, has provided a lot of podiums for holding rallies. You know, practically everything we've done since has been designed to allow for this.
And now nobody stands on the podium.
Nobody's using them right at the moment, but we're very well provided for the next mass organization on campus.
Well.
So we used to hear him from time to time over the noon hour. But he didn't dominate the very few bargaining sessions I was at all. And that, you know, was the only other window I had into TAA. They used to occasionally hold meetings here in Van Vleck, and at that time we were unhappy about reserving rooms for meetings from which faculty were excluded. We used to ask them, "Well, you know, can't we send a faculty member to your meetings?" And they used to say, "No, you can't." And we used to wonder if we were going to challenge them on that, but we never did. Wisely, I think, in retrospect. Well, then what happened? see, I forget, the strike was what, 2 weeks in duration or 3 weeks?
Well, it started the week before spring vacation, and then there was vacation, and it ended about April 8th, I guess.
I see, is there just 1 week of strike before vacation? See how things have, you know, all fled from my mind. Then it must have run a bit after vacation.
Yes, I rather thought 2 weeks, but it's, I've...
Right, well, I don't remember the time span. It was a period in which really I was, you know, absolutely, totally involved in trying to deal with the consequences of the strike. And so, you know, when you're very busy like that, one day wears right into another. We, of course, weren't at all involved in negotiations at that time. The council of ten and everything had packed it in. We were just tending to our knitting here in Van Vleck.
Yeah. Well, let's tell me what happened after the strike. Or do you have anything more to say about the time?
I think... I always, it always seemed to me that perhaps it was more than coincidence that just at the time that we really started to revise our plans for alternative instruction, contemplating really finishing up the semester without TAs, was about the time that the strike ended. It may just be that events separately were moving us and TA in parallel, but it was in fact the case that in the last week of the strike, we were really planning not just to provide the odd lecture in the evening, but to regroup classes and put an instructor in who would finish out the semester. We would have done that, as I recall, strike ended at the end of a week. We would have actually started that plan into operation the beginning of the following week if the strike hadn't ended. And students were beginning to turn up, we were beginning to see students we hadn't seen since the beginning of the strike. They were getting nervous about this, wanted to know how the semester was to be finished. So then the strike ended, TAs came back to work, there was a very unhappy incident, which I am not fully in, whose details I'm not fully in command, where the university did summon a certain number of TAs to courts for having been an illegal strike. It was at least stated that John Noel was involved in the selection of the math department's contribution to this this group. So far as anybody here knew, it was a case of having the university wishing to assemble a small group to face, to be brought to courts for. Essentially publicity purposes, and the major consideration being to get a management group. And TAs, I think, were very taken aback by this and very bitter about it.
How many? Three from the math department?
Something like that. It's a small number. And I don't think anybody could explain exactly why these were clearly more appropriate to receive this penalty
than purely
three
random,
other.
Random, as I understand it.
Well, whether it was random or whether it was some attempt to pick out ones who were somewhat more leaders or whatever than others, I don't know. But in any event, John Noel got several threatening phone calls and finally had his windows broken, which was the only... bit of real ugliness that we experienced out of the strike. And indeed, other than that, you know, it was very annoying to have all these doors locked. paper we had that they would attempt to persuade the mailman not to deliver the mail, but really...
Did he?
Mostly. They may have talked him out of it once or twice. It's... presumably the mailmen received fairly vigorous instructions from their own bosses. Other people we were conscious of were the janitors. I was conscious of them.
Wait a second. Well, what about the janitors?
No, I was conscious of them because I wished that they would do something to see the doors to the building were kept unlocked, and they flatly refused to mess with this at all. And they were quite clearly trying to be as nice to TAs as they possibly could without getting into getting themselves fired.
Mm-hmm.
I think, of course, there had been a lot of interest TAs in getting blue-collar workers involved in the strike,
yeah.
And apparently they were moderately successful. Well, it's, you're burning up your tape on a trivial remark. Got any searching question?
Was there anything done right away? I suppose not toward... toward a faculty TA committee that would work out the, that was one of the provisions of the contract, I think.
Right. So we'd had earlier a so-called faculty student liaison committee, which in fact involves graduate students who did talk about TA matters as well as student matters. That really was a casualty of the strike.
Why?
It had been based on an idea of finding things we could agree on, and as we moved into a strike situation, we faced a clear polarization, and originally this was set up, there was such an idea of student power at the time the committee set up, and students would come in and say, we want student power, and we would say, give us some for instances, and then they would say this and this and that, and then we would go away and say, well, let us see what we can do about dealing with these for instances without confronting the basic issue of student power. And as we moved into the strike, it seemed clear that that kind of tactic wasn't going to work. All such a committee could accomplish was debate, you know, the underlying issue of student power. It couldn't deal with specific problems.
I suppose their main concern would be the large lecture courses. And did they object to that, to this way of teaching calculus?
Yeah. I think that... my impression, I wasn't a TA at the time, but my impression is that it was not a very deeply held dislike on the part of any substantial group of TAs. There certainly were TAs who disliked being only a helper in a course and wanted a course of their own, but these would not have been a majority.
No, I do want to ask you a question. Did the TAs teach other than math before the strike? Are you aware that they talked about Vietnam or very much in the math department?
Yeah. Sure, TAs were concerned with that set of issues.
I mean, were they
concerned?
Teaching in their classroom?
Oh.
Were they spending time?
Not that I know of, and we, in fact, would tell them, I think once a semester, or once a year at least, that the math classroom is for discussing mathematics, not for discussing other issues, and we, of course, had the great good fortune in mathematics that it's really very easy to tell the difference between
yeah.
mathematics and the war in Vietnam,
mm-hmm.
whereas in humanities or social sciences, it may not be all that easy. And I think, so far as I know, the TAs pretty much respected that departmental statement. I am sure that as we move through the various crises on campus, you know, the black student crisis, various Vietnam crises, that TAs may have, some TAs told their classes, I have, you know, something very important to talk about, and all those who want to stay after the bell will rap about the TA strike, Martin Luther King assassination, whatever.
Mm-hmm.